A lot of people are going to be tuning in for the John Budmeyer conversation. We start that discussion around the 35-minute mark, and that kind of plays out the second half. On the first half, we talk about the Super Bowl. Should it be in Vegas every single year? Why was Kittle not more involved? Should Kevin talk more on the podcast? And is the Chiefs fatigue starting to set in? Let's talk about it. Let's have a day. Let's go.
Stats are true.
Stats are stats. You're right. Welcome into the Washed Up Walk-Ons podcast. Slowly becoming just the Washed Up Walk-On. Pod is dying. We're dying, Grant.
I don't think so.
It's going to become the Washed Up Walk-On and the Intern. Walk-On and Intern podcast.
Well, I hope at that point it's former intern, current, different title.
Oh, yeah.
So that's if it came to that, which I don't think it will. But if it did come to that, I would hope to be.
I kind of hope it does. Intern. I think we can get Kevin and Drake to sell their, can buy them out of their portion of the company, give that to you. Yeah. And then finally have somebody who could go full time with me. We could go all in and just do this.
Yeah.
Thing.
I guess also at some point though, then it's not the same show anymore. Then it's just something completely different.
It certainly would be a different show. Yeah. I've been thinking for a long time, and we might even do this anyway, eventually. But, you know, a good rebrand is always helpful for companies sometimes.
It's like a new logo.
Well, we kind of did a new logo last year with the words, not just the WW with the football arrow in the middle.
Innovation.
But shifting it from the Washed Up Walk-Ons, which would still maybe be the title of like the company. It's obvious it's the title of the LLC, maybe what we'd put our name on things as, but turn the podcast into just the Walk-On podcast.
And that's just the same format.
Same thing.
All that changes is just the name. Okay.
Just the name. It kind of professionalizes. Yeah. It makes the name a little bit more succinct, a little bit more poppy.
But then are you going to get sued by Walk-Ons, the restaurant?
I don't think so, unless they have a podcast called the Walk-On Podcast. I actually reached out to that guy. Do you know the story behind that?
No.
So the Walk-Ons, what's it called? Like something bistro. Let me pull that.
Bistro is a stretch, isn't it? Like to my understanding, it was TGI Fridays, but football themed.
I think it's TGI Fridays, but like Cajun themed. And I believe that they're opening more recently, they like bought land in Nebraska and Kansas and Iowa. I'm pretty sure they were expanding into the Midwest.
Oh, it is a bistro. My apologies. But yeah. It's bistro with, instead of like an O at the end, it's LSU style.
Oh, yeah.
E-A-U-X.
Yep. So that chain was started by an LSU basketball walk-on.
Checks out.
Just, you know, your token white dude, not sure he played at all, but has been very successful in the bistro business.
Hey, you know what? It's sometimes hoops isn't for everyone. Sometimes you got to go bistro.
The hoops to bistro pipeline is a common one, I guess, down there in the South. So obviously we started this brand, it became a thing. And then like a couple years in, I started to like see advertisements. I think they had a bowl game. I think they sponsored a bowl game.
Really?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure the Walk-Ons bowl game was a thing.
I feel like I remember that now. Yeah.
And this was like, and they may have even had like a Super Bowl ad or something crazy, like something very national and popular a few years ago. And people kept like saying like, hey, you need to get these guys as a sponsor. And so I DM the guy on Twitter, and he doesn't have like some millions of followers. I think he has like maybe 7 or 9,000 followers. So it's not like his DMs are flooded, right? And right. I'm like, hey, I think there's potential here to have like a pretty cool sponsorship opportunity. The problem is that it would make zero sense for them to sponsor us because 90% of the people who listen to this podcast don't live within 500 miles of a Walk-On's Bistro.
Oh, it's only in the South.
You could pull up the map, I'm sure, of their locations. They're not close to Iowa.
Oh, shoot. By the way, it was the Independence Bowl in 2019 they sponsored. Because yeah. It's still curious.
Kevin, welcome to the show.
Hey, what's up, guys?
How you doing?
I'm doing just fine. Sorry, I'm late.
No, you're good.
Where are we calling in from?
Yeah, do we have turn signal, Kev? Do we have business dinner, Kev? What do we have tonight?
We have walking down the street, Kev. I am out of the state right now.
Oh, interesting.
Out west?
Mysterious. Mysterious. Yes, I like it. Any thoughts on the poll that we ran on our Twitter, Kevin, that I can pull it up here. Came in, results are that over 40% of people think that Kevin Ward should be the one to speak the most on this podcast. 40.8%.
You know what I take from that is 60% don't want me to speak the most, so I'm going to honor the wishes of those 60%.
That is...
Well, according to your logic, that this should be a mute hour.
Yeah.
No one should speak.
Yeah, according to that logic...
That's probably for the best, Grant. That's probably for the best. We should probably just pack up this podcast and go home.
We almost got 1,000 people to vote on this poll, and by that logic, over 80% don't think that me or Grant should be the first ones to or be the most to speak. Drake came in at second at 21.6%, then me at 19, then Grant at 18.6.
Grant, I want you to know I voted for you.
That's crazy because I voted for you, Kevin.
So. I voted for Grant as well, so the data might be skewed.
I know for a fact that Tyler Grove voted for himself.
No, I voted for Grant. I swear to God.
I don't believe it for a second.
How do you... I wish I could show it. I could show literally who I voted for. Kevin didn't like that on Twitter. Someone was like, yes, this is what we need. And Kevin responded with like a, no, like, this is not, like, I'm good. Some kind of meme, like shaking their head or something. Anyway, happy Valentine's Day, Kevin.
Oh, thanks, man.
Did you
Valentine?
Yeah, I'd say so. I'm wearing pink for the show today. Did you by chance see the repost from last year, the little Valentine's card that I posted to our Twitter and Instagram?
Oh yeah, that's always a classic. Was last year the first time we ran that one?
I think it was last year, and I'm going to make it an annual thing. Although the design of the card might upgrade in future years. I think that the Koo Lick My Nuts is a great little, it's punchy to the point. I think if you give that to your...
I think we need an updated Drake on there. He don't look like that no more.
You're right.
I think a 2024 version of Drake with the long hair, the facial hair would be a little more fitting, I think. Don't you?
Yeah, I think it's right to the point. I think... You know, anybody you give that Valentine's card to, they're going to understand what you're looking for, and romantic, honestly, in my view. But who knows? Not too many topics here tonight. The poll was one of them. Shout out to everybody tuning in.
Got us through a whole 3 minutes.
Yeah, it got us through
Very
three
good.
Minutes. Super Bowl recap and John Budmeyer being hired as a wide receiver coach. Those are our two big topics today. So I'll probably direct you guys to whatever moment this minute mark is in the podcast. If you want to hear the real stuff, Grant, Kevin, either one of you can go. Super Bowl thoughts. The Chiefs are back-to-back champions. Is it rigged by the government? Is this is it scripted? What do we think? Are they just great?
I mean, it's the whole Taylor Swift narrative, yeah, it's probably rigged at some point. It's rigged. Yeah, it definitely is rigged.
Feels a little bit with Travis being sponsored by Pfizer. Feels a little bit. I don't know.
Can I share?
You know,
a stat?
If the NFL really wants to sell a storyline, they should have Taylor Swift date some new football player next year on a different team.
That would be,
and then the Chiefs will play that team in the Super Bowl next year.
Ooh!
Wow! The NFL should hire you right now.
Yeah, can't wait.
Are
you, is that where you are, Kevin? Are you writing the script for 2024, 2025?
You know, I'm not going to confirm nor deny that fact. Okay. But
wow, that's breaking news.
Can I share a stat though?
Yeah, absolutely.
In the past three Super Bowls, the Chiefs have been in. There have been zero holding calls on the Chiefs.
Ooh. And there's a lot of evidence on that.
And
the
there is, I'm just, you know, look, draw your own conclusions. There's some videos out there that it looks a little bit like holding, you know?
There's some implications.
I'm just going to say it, right?
I saw the one on Bosa.
It's not
that,
good.
That was bad. Oh, I think we have elevator Kevin right now.
I'm so lost as to what's happening.
Which is probably why he's not responding.
It's okay.
Zero holding calls in three. Dude, you know how hard it is to go three games without a holding penalty in general?
And it's the soupy.
It's the granddaddy. How are you going to go three? I mean, draw your own conclusions, but.
Draw your own conclusions. I'm just, I all I'm doing is presenting a fact.
Kevin, I don't know if, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. What's up?
I assume you watched the full Super Bowl.
I did. Yeah, it's great.
How much do you cringe? There was an Iowa moment on the punt return where it hit the guy's foot that happened to us at Penn State this past year.
Let's not pretend like that would have changed the outcome of that game.
Well, no, but it doesn't make it suck any less. As a former guy on the punt return unit, can we get some insight on how that should be played? How a guy's supposed to get out of that situation? How hard is it to realize where the ball is in the air and get away from it?
Well, I mean, usually, unless it's like critically short, I don't, you know, the punt returner is not making that call until he realizes he can't get to it, right? So the guy probably got a late notice. And again, this is a freaking Super Bowl, right? Like, fans are going crazy. It's loud. It's in an indoor stadium. It's very possible that guy never even heard that call. Yeah. Punt returner can be screaming as loud as he wants to. It's possible the guy never heard that call.
Probably, unfortunately.
And sometimes, sometimes you do get a Peter call, right? And the thing is, you don't know where that ball's at. So you could think you're getting out of the way and you're moving right into the path of it, right? It's like, it's very hard to identify where that ball's at. So, I mean, that's a tough play. That's something I don't really fault the return team for in that situation. You know, there are some where it's a little bit more blatant that somebody wasn't listening, but that one's just a shit happens kind of play.
The best scenario on a Peter call really is just to run to the out of bounds. Like, because then if you can get out of bounds and it hits, like, at least it doesn't matter at that point. But yeah, it's kind of
unfortunately that was like in the middle of the field and out of bounds wasn't around. But yes, we were taught that if you hear Peter and you're near the sideline, just get out of bounds.
Yeah. Yeah. What do we think about, and this is more for you, Kev, again, on DHT yesterday, anybody who joined me and Grant and Drake for that one, Drake is, I mean, shout out to the guy for being potentially the most loyal. I mean, he's like a dog. He is like a dog. He's the most loyal person I know, but loyal to a fault, maybe. He blames entirely the loss for the 49ers on Kyle Shanahan, and more specifically, not getting George Kittle the football.
I mean, they went to overtime, so I wouldn't exactly say that the lack of George Kittle catches was the reason they lost. Would like to see George Kittle involved in the game plan a little more? Certainly. I mean, he's an all-pro tight end in the NFL. Like, you have all these weapons, you should probably be using them. But is that the sole reason why they lost? I would say that would be no. But
I tried to bring up like the fact that like the other team also has some part in taking him away. Like, who knows? Maybe that was one of their main focuses. Like, we're not gonna let Kittle bully us on offense, you know, by doing what he does. I don't know. And also Brock Purdy has to throw him the ball to get him for him to get catches. So I'm sure there's a few plays, maybe more than a few plays, where you could go back to that Super Bowl if you're watching the All 22 film and say, oh, well, Brock could have thrown it to Kittle on this one. He just decided to go to Ayuk or somebody else. I don't know. Drake.
I would argue that the bigger point was coming out of that second half is, one, they couldn't get the ball moving. It seemed like they didn't lean on the run game as much as they should have coming like into the third quarter. I would say that was kind of, you know, my hindsight 2020 deal is probably could have come out of half running ball a little bit more and not let KC get back in the game as quickly as they did.
Yeah. Patrick Mahomes happens to be very good at football too, by the way. Like
a little bit. Yeah.
I know that's a sore subject for you, Grant, because it's a interdivisional thing, which by the way, Broncos hired Jim Leonard.
I saw. Very good news to me.
Do you hear about that, Kev?
He's a great coach.
No, but he's the DC or what?
I believe DB's coach.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good hire. I mean, the guy knows how to coach football.
Seems like a pretty good, pretty decent defensive mind. So you'd think that he would know what he's doing. So Riley Moss now going to be under the tutelage of Jim Leonard, which is fun to see.
Yeah. No, I think it's a great hire for the Broncos.
Broncos Super Bowl 2025.
I told you, maximum value right now. Go put your futures in. All right, just a little heads up.
What are our odds for 2025 Super Bowl right now?
I think it's 151-1, something like that.
For the Broncos, really?
Oh, it's yeah. We don't know who our quarterback is right now as well. Like, it's going to change.
Bro, there's 32 teams in the league. You're 151-1.
Well, wait till you see the Panthers odds, because it's much worse.
Is that 1,000-1?
It's not like the Broncos were a 500 ball club last year. It's not like we're taking the 1-16 team with he's going to have like a first overall draft pick. I mean,
yeah, and I think, yeah. Like I said, I think there's a lot up in the air kind of with the Broncos right now. But I don't know. Well, it's also too, like, realistically, when you went to this season, how many teams did you think were going to win the Super Bowl?
Maybe six.
Like four, five?
Yeah. You're right. But I mean,
it's the NFL. Everyone's really good. But it's also like, I didn't think the Cardinals were going to win the Super Bowl this year. Like,
I think the best part about the NFL is the gap from the best team to the worst team, especially in the regular season, is like pretty thin.
Oh, yeah.
Comparatively to a lot of other sports, definitely college football, right? Like,
for sure.
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah, you have the best team in the NFL playing the worst team in the NFL. The spread's usually within two touchdowns.
Yeah. It's, right? It's rarely outside of like 12 or 13 points, which is really fun because then you get games where, you know, a bad team could beat a generally good team and nobody really freaks out too much because they're just like, well, yeah, you've got the top 1,500 NFL football players, like best in the world. Like, there's going to be a day where one team that's not so great has their day and their guys just go off because they're also elite athletes. But like, compare that to like when Alabama plays like Chattanooga and it's like, okay, there's just nothing that could possibly happen today. Like, they would have to run their bus off of the side of the road for Alabama to not win by three touchdowns here. Like,
you got to put some respect on Chattanooga.
I don't think I do. What did they do last year?
Something. That's for sure.
they definitely played at least 12 football games. We know that.
They participated. We know that.
Kev, maybe a topic that's closer to your heart. I saw Ike actually tweet about this. He's not very active on the X platform, but he responded to somebody. I had this thought as well. With how much, and I don't know how much coverage you saw out of Vegas. Obviously, it's a hub. It's a mecca. Everybody, no matter where the Super Bowl is, everybody in the sports world sort of converges down on that place for 2 weeks, and it becomes just a content city. And there's coverage of every team. Every player has a story written about them. But Vegas, for the first time, it almost seems like the Super Bowl should just be in Vegas every year. Like, that's what it felt like to me.
I mean, I wouldn't be terribly opposed to that idea, right? I mean,
brand new stadium.
It's brand new stadium. It's like entertainment capital of America. And like they just know how to put on a show in Vegas, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's really not a terrible idea.
I like that it tours around, though. I like that.
I'm with you, Grant. Like, I think I'd still lean on moving it from city to city, just like the Final Four moves cities all the time. I think that's it's good for the sport. But if you had to choose one city, Vegas would definitely be in the top three.
It would have to be, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I think here's the other factor. I guess no, they do Super Bowls in outdoor stadiums, right?
Yeah, but it's Miami. Sure. Yeah.
Like, it's all in the South, though. Yeah.
Well, they actually did
Tampa.
They did MetLife not that long ago. I think they did.
I think they, for the most part, try to stay away from like a cold Super Bowl, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. For some reason, they don't want the weather to be a factor in the Super Bowl.
Well, yeah, they have the entertainment and money.
They don't want Buffalo to have it, and there's going to be 6 inches of snow on the ground where they're going to be like a 9-7 ball game. They want tough points.
Usher out there as well with the 9 inches of snow on the ground.
Other than New York, too, can you imagine him taking his shirt off? It's like -7.
Well, his rollerblades aren't working on ice. That's for sure.
Oh, that'd be tough. For the most part, other than New York and Boston ish, you're not really looking at a whole lot of like major markets to like host this, you know, Super Bowl week and all that media. Like, to do that in Green Bay, there's not a lot to pull you to Green Bay other than if they were to have the Super Bowl in Lambeau, which would be sick for the game. But what is everybody going to be doing for the 10 days that they're there ahead of time? You know, it's like,
right. Man, they want to make like a week long event out of the Super Bowl. Right?
Yeah. I mean, the city that hosts it is trying to make upwards of billions of dollars on that time frame. So, I mean, I don't know, like watching Will Compton and Taylor Lewan gamble and play blackjack with Tom Segura and Bert Kreischer and all those guys on like the podcast this past week, like Vegas provided a pretty good spot for entertainment outside of the football content. So I was big fan.
So does like, I mean, they go to New Orleans all the time. Like, it's not like there's nothing to do in New Orleans.
New Orleans next year, right?
Yeah. The Superdome.
Yep. New Orleans is a popular location. I imagine that LA will get it pretty frequently moving forward
with SoFi. Yeah. For sure.
I think they're just going pretty much back and forth between New Orleans, Miami, LA, and then now probably Vegas as well.
I think those are four.
Well,
good
they had
spots.
In Tampa when the Bucks won it, Tampa was the host city.
Right. No, yeah, you're right. They did. Yeah.
Probably.
And, didn't Minneapolis have it a handful of years ago?
Yeah. Minnesota had it very recently. They had it in, because I remember Minnesota got to the NFC Championship game. And I was like, oh, shoot, they're going to play in their own stadium. That's super cool. I don't remember which year that was, though.
I don't know. I like those four cities for it, though. Want to take a quick second to beg everybody listening to follow us on the TikTok, follow us on the YouTube. YouTube's going crazy. Not sure what happened. We caught the algorithm. George going to the Super Bowl and getting a lot of media attention these past few weeks definitely helped. But the George Barn Gym Tour is up to like, I don't know, it's chasing 50,000 views, I think, right, Grant? And
something like that, yeah.
The Joe Evans podcast on YouTube is upwards of 5,000 views. Petrus episode doing well, too. So thank you, guys. We were just at the turn of the year begging for 3,000 subscribers. We're trying to pushed towards like 3,500 now. That 5,000 that Grant you joked about, I don't know, like
I don't joke.
6 months ago, you were we're coming for it.
I like setting high goals.
The Instagram, and this is mostly thanks to Grant, also just crossed 4,000 followers, so that's huge. And Kev, I know you sent me a message on the Instagram that, you know, we're making like $100 a month on YouTube now. So we are.
Oh, that was a month. I thought that was like cumulative.
No. That's it was $109 a month, is what we're averaging over the last 28 days. So that, you know, $1,200 a year off our YouTube. We're going to get Grant to post the clips of our clips that we put out onto the shorts. So that should bring in a small amount of revenue as well. So we're just, you know, slowly climbing to the point where you can retire from Striker and we can just podcast full time, build the studio out, you know, do the whole thing.
I mean, yeah, we're only like half of 1% of the way there, but yeah, we're.
No, was that a Kevin salary reveal we just did?
No, I don't think so. I think I think he also knows.
Let me do the math. No, I'm just kidding.
Kevin's like, carry the one. I mean, if we make 150,000 times more than what we made that month, then yeah, we're good.
Let's get those comments going. Drive the algorithm. Guess how much Kevin makes down below.
If someone guesses the exact number on my W-2, I'll post it.
Okay, maybe don't guess that. Okay.
Post below exactly what you think Kevin's salary is.
Has to be to the dollar.
How many to the cent?
To the cent. All right.
Yeah, because who knows? Maybe you made some change on the dollar. Who knows?
Right.
I will say this: there was one guy who, Grant, your suggestion was comment below on the last video. What should Kluver have to do if we hit 5,000 subscribers?
Yes.
There was only one person who really put out legitimate challenge, and it was a 5,000 calorie challenge. And his suggestions for the calories were either 5,000 calories of Jack's pizza, $5,000 of crumble, or $5,000 calories of crumble, or 5,000 calories of Jenny's ice cream.
You see, here's my thing is that there's two problems. One, I think you're going to like that too much.
I don't hate it.
And then two is that it's going to be hard to, like, are we just going to film a 4-hour video of you just eating?
Oh, I would. I'd get on here and I'd live stream it.
Oh, you would just live stream it? Okay.
Yeah, I'd live stream it to the YouTube channel.
I don't know if you want to, like,
now
it turns into like ASMR of you just drinking ice cream. It's kind of gross, but yeah.
Just slurping.
We're going to lose subscribers.
So
that's the case.
The pizza would be really hard. I think a Jack's pizza is somewhere around like 1500 calories. So I would have to eat over 3 full Jack's pizzas. That would hurt. However, 5 pints of Jenny's ice cream and actually like 4 pints, maybe 4.5 pints of some of the flavors of Jenny's ice cream. I don't think I would struggle with that even a little bit. And that might sound aggressive to some of the listeners, but I've talked about my ability to eat ice cream before. The time where I slugged down half a gallon of Oreo milkshake in 7 minutes, it can be done. So
now do you turn it into 5,000 calories plus 5K? You have to go run afterwards.
I got to run 3 miles afterwards. That would hurt. That would hurt really bad. Oh God. I mean, we could do it. It's going to be harder to live stream the running part, but I guess we could flip to, I don't know. I could have you come out to Des Moines, Grant, and you could like drive the car next to me as I ran the 3. Yeah.
And then I crash because I'm not looking out the window instead of in front of me.
Yeah. You run me over as we try to make a turn.
Yeah.
So 5K calories. That's one idea. Maybe some other ideas. Maybe we can bounce some around. We can brainstorm. We can pros and cons some things. I
don't know. I thought you were just gonna do like a t-shirt giveaway or something. But
that's what I had in mind. I don't want this to be painful to me. I think it should benefit the listeners and the followers. But
yeah, that's what I was picturing. It's like, if we get to 5K, I'll give something away.
5,000. We're definitely not going to give away $5,000 of merchandise. Can we give away? Gosh, I could think of something. You got an idea, Kev?
No, this is not my area of expertise.
The marketing and social media management, not Kevin's spot. All right. Well, we'll keep workshopping that. Super Bowl Chiefs win again. I will say, I think I'm sort of in the bandwagon or the boat of the Chiefs are getting, they're just a little bit, I'm over it, you know?
I
It just
think the bandwagon would be the opposite.
the
The
bandwagon of
bandwagon, that would be like you buying a Chiefs jersey and you grow out an Andy Reid mustache.
I suppose you're right. I do like Andy Reid. I like Andy Reid a lot. And
Oh, he's very likable,
I
yes.
don't have anything against Patrick Mahomes other than the weird ways that he walks on and off the field and like walks around like he's just got his nails done or something. It's very odd. He has some odd sort of weird demeanor. Kelce, I both love and hate, which is sort of a lot of polarizing figures in sports are like that. He's very much so has like the D-bag gene in him, but he's also like, I mean, we were down with him at tight end U. Like he's a bro. He's one of the dude. He's a guy.
Oh yeah.
But just the Chiefs in general, like I don't know. So something about people start winning too much and you're like, yeah, I'm over it. I don't
No,
like it.
that I 100% agree. And my thing always is, if Patrick Mahomes became the Broncos quarterback tomorrow, I would be the biggest Patrick Mahomes fan of all
You
time.
would have a Mahomes jersey on
Oh yes,
Saturday.
I'd have to delete a lot of podcasts, but I would be the biggest Mahomes fan of all time. It's just the team that I really don't like. I have no issue with them as people. Like,
Yeah.
I don't think Mahomes or Kelce are bad people at all.
Yeah.
But no, they unfortunately play for a team I dislike very much. And
Yeah.
that's I feel like the case, unfortunately, with everything is that I don't know why, but I just wake up and anyone that's having remotely like a ton of success, I just wake up and I dislike them. Like, that was my thing with Coach K forever. Like, did he do anything to me? No, I just decided one day I woke up when I was like 11. I was like, I don't like this guy.
I don't think you're alone in that, but I don't know that I don't understand. I guess I do understand maybe the biological inclination towards that. It's like, oh, so this somebody's figured this out. Somebody's doing better than everybody else. Why do they deserve that? Like, I
Or
don't
like
like
the
it.
Warriors, or like
Oh, the Warriors.
any like small dynasty that forms, I'm like, I'm out.
Kevin, do
Unless
you
it's
feel
my
that as
team.
well? Do you have Chiefs fatigue?
That's a good question, right? Like, people like to see people win until they start winning too much. But if they're doing it the right way, man, I think at the same time, you kind of just got to appreciate greatness, right?
I would agree. I always loved watching Tom. It's weird because I liked watching Tom win. And it's not that I don't dislike the Chiefs. I don't think I'm definitely not a Chiefs hater. There's a lot of people out there who are like, they're full on, like, I hate the Chiefs. Like, the Chiefs suck. They're the current, like, villain, bad guy. I'm not that far. I think I like to see a variety of winners. Like, when it went, what did it go? Chiefs, Rams, or Chiefs.
Chiefs, Bucks, Rams.
Chiefs, Bucks, Rams, like 3 years in a row, you get three different teams. I like that.
Yeah. No, well, I mean, it's like that for a while. It's incredibly hard to win back to back. It's the first one in 20 years. Like,
I know. It's so
yeah, and they did it in a much different way. Like, their defense is what carried them this year,
it's true.
which is
For
not
sure.
what we're used to from Kansas City.
Hey, 25 points, all you need to win a Super Bowl.
I think part of the fatigue, though, too, is like regional. Like, where you live in Des Moines,
True.
way more Chiefs fans than
You're right.
Patriots fans, right?
You're
So
right.
I think it's just around you more than like you had Boston guys around.
You're probably right. You're probably right. It's a little bit of a regional sort of location thing. Let's shift gears here. Big news of the day. Not ex necessarily unexpected. I think a lot of people saw this coming. A lot of people, this is what they were projecting. Kelton Copeland obviously parted ways. Iowa and him parted ways as the wide receivers coach about a month ago, probably at this point. And the analyst, John Budmeyer, who's been with the team for the last year or two, has been elevated to the wide receivers coach. And I pulled a little post in, well, I didn't fully post in Ghost, but after a couple comments, I was like, I got to get out of here for my mental health on Twitter this afternoon. With the Budmeyer thing. It's people are not happy about it. They don't like it. I could see why, but a lot of the people's opinions are that he's a bad wide receivers coach, and you just don't simply know that yet. Is it a bad hire, a questionable hire? I think there's maybe there's a side that you can certainly make an argument for there. The one that everybody points to is like, we hired a guy to coach wide receivers that has never coached or played wide receiver before. I understand that. Valid, especially if really only if it turns out to be a bad situation. But I mean, we have two really good examples on staff right now of coaches who are doing pretty good at positions that they never coached or played before they were there. In Coach Wallace as a linebackers coach, he was a wide receiver in college, and Abdul Hodge, linebacker, went across the ball just like Coach Wallace, and he coaches tight ends now. So Kevin, my question to you is, what do you think about that? And what do you think about guys, the concept of coaching the position you played? Do you need that at the Big Ten level? Is it good enough to just elevate a guy on your staff, or should we have gotten somebody better here? What do you think?
I would echo your kind of opinion on, like, you don't need to play the position that you coach. Like, Coach Wallace is a world-class linebackers coach. Yep. Like, he is a highly sought-after linebacker coach and DB at DC. Guy played wide receiver in college, right? It's like, we've said this before, the ability to coach a position and the ability to play a position are not the sorry, I got a call coming in 1 sec.
You're good. I'll take over. Kevin's making my point here, but Grant, what do you think from the outside, from the fan perspective of this thing? I agree that you can definitely criticize this hire. I think more so from the fact of that we hired from within is more criticizable in my mind than the fact that I just don't buy into the whole, like, he's never played or coached the position before. And that's no, you're good. I'm biased because I played for two coaches who coached special teams and dealt with the specialists who didn't know anything. Coach Woods, he knows a lot more now, but Coach Woods, when he stepped into the special teams coach, our senior year, he didn't, there were so many times where he was just openly like, hey, you're the guy who knows, you know more about snapping than I do. Coach Woods dabbled in snapping as like a backup thing to his linebacker career in the NFL, but he didn't know anything about kicking. He didn't know anything about punting. He was just like, you guys know the fundamentals. You guys, I'll help you get somebody to help us figure this out. He would bring in Nate Kading. He would bring in Jason Baker to help with the punters and kickers. But he would be very upfront with like, hey, I don't know specifically your skill, but I can coach you through the position of how you need to help our team. And, you know, maybe special teams is a little bit more of a unique example, but I mean, same thing with Coach Wallace. I don't know. I just, it doesn't seem like as big of a deal to me. The one criticism I would put out there is it does seem like the easy hire. Like, I'm not questioning Coach Ferentz. Again, another bias. I love these people on social media that are like, it's just, you guys are always bootlicking the coaches at Iowa, and you guys, you never see that they do anything wrong, that they actually can make bad hires and that they do make bad decisions. It's just like, sure, they can, but we don't know if Bud Meyer is a good hire or not until the receivers have a chance to go out there and play. And we see two years worth of production. Like, how do you judge this hire other than just complete, conjecture of like, I think he'll be a bad coach because this, and this. It's just, I don't like when people do that. It just doesn't make any sense logically. Anyway, Kev, what were you going to say?
Yeah, sorry about that, boys. I was just going to say, coaching and playing are vastly different skill sets. Making you good at one doesn't make you good at the other. I think we've said that multiple times on this podcast.
to your point, Kluver, about like Coach Wood's coaching a specialist, being a specialist is a highly technical position.
Right.
For the most part, receiver, obviously there's technique in everything you do on the football field, but you can learn very easily how to coach the coaching points of playing wide receiver. Just like, as I'm sure LeVar got to the point where he is now coaching the technical aspects of the specialist, right?
Yeah, a lot of it, yeah.
Field need to bring in Nate Kading or Jason Baker anymore. I'm sure he still does on occasion just because they're great resources to have. Why wouldn't you use them? But, you know, just like anything else, if you are a good communicator and a good leader, you can learn how to be a good coach. And, you know, it's basically like being a teacher, right? Can you learn the material and can you teach it to others? That's the essence of coaching right there. So, yeah, I don't care that the guy's never played wide receiver. He was a quarterback's coach.
Yeah, he was
quarterback.
Yeah, he was the offensive coordinator and quarterback's coach for Colorado State in 2021. And then that's when he came, I think, for 22 and 23. He's been with Iowa as like an analyst slash like, I don't know, helping with the QBs. And that's where he takes a lot of his heat too, is like, I think he somehow is credited with the, before Colorado State, he spent 6 seasons at Wisconsin. So the final three, he was quarterback's coach, quality control in 16 and 17, and an assistant, a GA in 15. And so he knew Deacon before he left Wisconsin. So I think he's credited with like getting Deacon to come to Iowa. And then also he's attached to Deacon's performance and ability at the quarterback position, which is just like, okay. But like, if you go and look at the quarterbacks at Wisconsin, you gotta go both ways. Like, if you're going to fault him as a quarterback's coach or as a coach in general for Deacon's performance and Deacon's ability, then you have to give him the credit for recruiting and developing like Graham Mertz and who else were the other quarterbacks there? Jack Cohn.
Well, that one didn't exactly pan out either. So,
but they've had great games. Like, I mean, what I'm saying is it's not just so easy to look at a guy's performance in a game and say, oh yeah, it's because of the coach, you know, like, yeah. Who else?
Well,
Jack.
Well, my
Cohn.
General point is like the guy knows the structure of offenses and he can teach the X's and O's portion of a wide receiver. Probably just right off the bat, right? There's nothing, not going to be a whole lot for him to learn there.
Yeah.
It would just be about technical coaching points, right? If you can coach the X's and O's of a quarterback, you can coach the X's and O's of receivers. It's the fucking same thing. You're teaching them how to diagnose defenses and teaching route concepts. It's more or less the same thing, just on the other side of it. And then I have no doubt that if you're a good coach, you can learn the technical points of how to coach the position from
right.
a technique standpoint.
So, yeah, and maybe that's just
I don't know if it's a good hire, right? And, you know, people are saying that we settled for a guy on our staff. Like, well, there's probably a reason that we got him on our staff. You know, there's probably a reason that KF wanted him around in the first place. And probably because he thought he was a good coach. And a lot of people take those, like, analyst positions waiting for a coaching position to open up, whether it be on that staff or elsewhere, right? It's, instead of, like we saw Jim Leonard, like, it's that was a freaking head coach and he took an analyst position with the University of Illinois. Like,
true.
Yeah, I could go down and coach any D1AA school I wanted to right now, but I'm just going to hang out here at this staff for a year until something opens up that is befitting of my skill set. So that's more or less my opinion what this hire was, and like you, I don't know if it's going to end up being
no clue
working out very well. We have no idea.
It's just wrong. It's just wrong to indict him on stuff that hasn't happened yet. Like I just don't.
The other thing you'd want to look at is that, you know, can he recruit, right?
Yeah, that's a huge part too.
I have no idea. We remains to be seen. So
I just hate that, and maybe it's my fault. Yeah, I put myself in this position. Some people are just too dense to see it on on social and they're just always going to believe what they believe. That's fine. But like I/we, the podcast, can't stick up for anything that the program does without getting called like program apologists and bootlickers and like homers bias. Like can nothing be positive about that's all I try to do. And sometimes I do it on purpose in lieu of whatever the specific opinion or situation or like news event is. I just put positive stuff out there to be against all of the negative crap that comes out, because every single time something happens like this, it's just, people are just ready to jump off the cliff into the negativity cesspool. It's like, can not one person just be like, well, I don't know, maybe he will be a good coach. Like, I don't, a lot of the people are just circulating and churning the stuff that they've heard people on podcasts say, or they've heard other people on Twitter say. They're just like, I heard that we shouldn't be happy about this, so I'm not happy that Bud Meyer's are. Like, it's just like, create your own opinions. Like, don't, I don't know. That shit gets on my nerves. Wild.
But can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Who makes this decision? Did Kirk pick this upgrade, or does like Lester have a say in it at all? Like, do you know?
It's a good question. I would have to imagine that Lester is at least confronted about it. You know, like, it's his offense.
At the end of the day, Kirk decides who's on his staff.
Yeah.
With the one exception of when his son was on his staff because of conflict of interest that had to be reported to the AD. But to my knowledge, Kirk has 100% autonomy of who's on his staff, and he has the final say. So I'm sure that he had those conversations with Lester along the hiring process. It's like, I'm sure he... Lester wasn't just told this guy's going to be your wide receivers coach, but
right.
I'm sorry. Yep. There was some discussion there.
It would be interesting to know the process. I mean, I think people just see it, and they, in the end, people just see it and they go, oh, we took some guy who's on our staff, who's not some sexy hire from outside the program. We can go and hire. Like, you guys got to think, like, we're only working with so much too. Like, the Iowa wide receiver position, we've dug ourselves a hole, not just in the last few years, but like over the last 20 years. It's just not a spot that's like a very sought after coaching job. So, you know,
the bar is low, baby.
Yeah, it's not like we're going to have the best wide receiver coaching candidates in the country lining up for that job. It's just not going to happen. So you got to build it from somewhere. And in the end, call me a homer. You would be too if you've seen what I've seen and had the relationship with the coaches that we've had. Like, until something goes horribly bad, I just trust KF. I just trust them. They know what they're doing. And if something like Brian happens and it goes 2-3 years and it's like, this isn't working out, then I'm totally fine. Even though some people will deny that I've said this a million times, like, yeah, we got to move on from Brian. But like, let's let the decisions play out. We'll leave it with this. Caitlin Clark will break the record on the day that this podcast comes out. She's 8 points shy. She's ever scored less than, I don't know if she's ever scored less than 10 points in a game. I think maybe like once in her career at Iowa, she's had less than 10 points. Maybe not. That's pretty cool. Kev, did you see what the ticket prices were?
In the thousands of dollars, aren't they?
I think minimum, like, sit at the very top next to the Carver Cone stand is like $500, and a courtside seat is 10 Jeezys. Unreal.
I mean, it's witnessing history, right? You can't, that's the only way to experience it. And
if you had... Right. If you had 2, 3, 4 of those courtside tickets, Kev, would you sell them and then just buy one of the $500 tickets at the top of the stadium? You still are in the building, you still witness it, but you get to make quite literally a poverty salary off of selling a couple tickets.
You tell me, do I sell, how many courtside tickets do I get?
You have 4 courtside tickets. What do you do with them?
Yeah, absolutely. Fucking
sell them. Yeah, I would make
no.
Yeah, I would sell them in a heart. Grant, that's $35,000.
But why do you have courtside tickets in the first place if you're not going to be there for the big moments? Like, I'm assuming if you have
because this is such an anomaly,
probably like watching the game.
This is such an anomaly that you I think you have to sell them, man. I think you have to.
No.
This is also coming from a young person who doesn't have, like, you know, enough, like, you know, $35,000 is like not life changing for me, but it would be a pretty freaking significant, you know.
I mean, like, Jack Nicholson wasn't selling his tickets when LeBron broke it.
Broke the Jack Nicholson has how much money, Grant?
I know, but it's like we're in this situation. Kevin's good for four courtside tickets in the season.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I mean,
you might be. I don't know. Guess below.
again. You can't. Drop that salary prediction. What it will say.
Well, I think I just gave you a hint, right? It's like $40,000 still means something to me.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's crazy. Yes,
I absolutely sell those tickets for $40,000.
I would too. Grant's watching the game courtside, and I don't blame you. But for me personally,
Think of all that leg room you got with three open seats next to you,
dude. You know how much leg room I could have on the couch to watch a layup go in to break the record? Like, you know, like, I don't
we
know.
Got three open seats. Sounds like you can bring a couch if you wanted.
I mean, this is also assuming you can buy the $500 ticket right next to the Carver cone, which honestly might be an added benefit.
Yeah, low key, you just reach back, grab yourself a cone. Yeah. All right. Well, that's about it for us tonight. Appreciate you hopping on, Kev, late. Keep doing your thing over there, writing that 2024, 2025 NFL script. I think you've got some great ideas, and I think
comment below what do you want me to throw in here? Any little pineapples for the fans?
What needs to be in the NFL script, and what is Kevin's salary from 2023 that's going to show up on his taxes here in a month?
Sean Payton, Coach of the Year, Broncos, Super Bowl.
Just to
throw something out there.
We already hashed out all the main themes. It's just, I want what little wrinkles we want.
Side storylines at this point.
Josie Jewell.
MVP.
Elected president, can't finish season.
He's elected in November.
I don't believe he's old enough to qualify.
He's not.
I forgot about that thing.
Given the age of our fucking presidents that we have running.
Yeah, that's a whole other situation. Maybe we can get Josie on this offseason and ask him if he ever wants to run for office. I think I know the answer. Anyway, thank you guys for joining us. Not even sure what episode this is. Kevin's salary, your Bud Meyer thoughts, and NFL script suggestions down below. Thanks again for watching. We'll talk to you next time. Peace.
Hey, thanks for listening to the show. If you want more, you can check us out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by searching Washed Up Walk-Ons. And if you're interested in supporting the show, head over to patreon.com/washedupwalkons where you can find bonus podcasts, merchandise, and other cool perks. Best part, half of your subscription benefits the kids at UI Children's Hospital. We'll see you next time. Hawks by a million.